Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. Hotline Miami. It's a great game. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, and it doesn't really matter because you're just some guy who like wakes up and gets weird messages on his answering machine, and then you go to weird places and you hit people with baseball bats and shoot people with a pig mask on
for really no reason, right?
No reason at all. No reason.
It's very willing to have that acid trip sort of.
Yeah, like personally, just speaking from experience, I've never like taken a bunch of crystal meth and shot a room full of people with a gun, but if I had, I feel like this would really be a good semblance of the experience. Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
Yeah. Yeah. No. For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge and lay maintain with a course saved in colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor. Thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as to Tanga, Cal, and Bobinator, Booker, Hart, and others. Discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure. And look, they wrote a book about it. Go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Dogs.
Hey everybody, welcome back to our humble show. For this episode, we're going to be talking a little game called Ys Book 1 and 2, although I'm going to be calling it Yes, Just a Piss Off Slow Beef. Who's with me to discuss this one?
Slow Beef, who you just mentioned.
I'm Word on the Wind.
I'm Lolo de Puzzlo.
Welcome back, Lolo.
Thank you.
So, yeah, this game is... Just so we're clear, this is not Ys. What's the remake of the two games? Is it Chronicle?
Oh boy, Ys 1 and 2 have been remade so many times. There's Chronicle Plus, which is the one that you're probably going to be getting these days if you get it. And oh boy. Like,
there's the Saturn version, there's the Famicom version.
Yeah, Falcom was doing the let's re-release our flagship game many, many, many times across multiple generations thing before it was cool.
Yes.
I was going to say, too, according to the kana, this is pronounced Ys.
Yeah, that's because it's based off of at least mythical historical location in the Paris area.
Yeah, the funny thing about that, so Ys in the game is a mythical floating island. The Ys of like actual like French myth is basically Atlantis. It's so the complete opposite of a floating city. It is a submerged city.
So, Ys Book 1 and 2 was developed by Alpha System, technically, because it's a port.
Right.
But, you know, the original developer for the games before they were collected was Nihon Falcom. Yep. Nerd it up. And the publisher was Hudson Soft, and first platform was the PC Engine, but really it's the PC Engine CD, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Like, considering the music, I'd be amazed if it wasn't.
Yeah, it's a big thing. They had Redbook audio, which is like a phrase that means nothing to anyone nowadays. But yeah. So earliest release date is December 21st, 1989 in Japan. So you could get it just in time for Christmas, and you pick it up along with your bucket of chicken. So look it up, kids.
Not an item in the game. Although there is a wing.
There is.
Yeah, so basically this recompiles, recontextual, I don't know what it does, but it's like, so the E series is interesting because it's basically a top-down action RPG kind of series. It's got the bump combat, everybody loves it. Yay. Yep. But the interesting thing about it is that the games like pretty much flow between one another pretty smoothly.
Which is unusual. One and two are directly connected, and then four follows up shortly after that, and then like three happens after that, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. Yeah.
Five doesn't happen because that almost killed the franchise.
Yeah. So, you know, but it can always come back in one form or another. The idea with the East Book 1 and 2 is it kind of connects the two games, and I don't really know why it's called Book 1 and 2. Could just be called East 1 and 2. And
that's so the reason for that is that they've basically established that the East games are main character Adol Kristen's memoirs.
So they're spoiling that he survives, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Damn it. I thought he was a goner.
It could also be the fact that the books of East are actually a important like plot point in the actual games themselves as well.
Also valid, but like this is a thing that
that one's actually
confirmed. So
Okay, then never mind.
I mean, for the longest time. So as we said, the cool thing about this game when it came out, it actually was released in North America, which is a big deal. Like you can find it's kind of like the Velvet Underground of TurboGrafx games. Like not everybody, almost nobody bought it, but the people who did, man, they can't forget it.
I have one of those people on actually.
Yeah, tell us about that. What was that like?
Get that was nuts. This is because you have to. So I was one of those poor saps who had the CD add-ons for consoles. And Turbo and
I like you were that really you, that was multiple times you fell for that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, just as a side, like I got the Sega CD, and my brother got the 32X. So we both got screwed in different ways, but that's different. But like either way, you were like fighting for good games because you'd get Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective, you'd put it in, people would come over and be like, "Wow, full motion video, and it's super grainy and low color, and it looks like god awful." But back then, you like bought in like, "Oh, this is the future of video games." Like
it's got real actor. Well, it's got real people.
Yeah, but you wanted real games that you were kind of used to playing, and then those were few and far between too. Like things that like resembled actual video games rather than like little like press left when the Dragon's Lair-ish thing tells you to, you know, kind of.
But you also wanted to kind of justify it being on a CD.
Yeah. So East Book 1 and 2 is like, "Oh, this looks kind of like a Legend of Zelda-ish kind of thing, except you play it and it's pixel art and it's one of those RPGs. I think it's like Hydalite, if I remember, where you run into things to hurt them."
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Hydalite crib from Ys.
There is even going back to Falcom themselves, like that itself could be like a derivative of like Dragon Slayer. And I think Xanadu might've been out at that point.
But in the interruption, Cal is asking Slow Beef to join the Discord Patreon voice thing.
Gotcha. Will do.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right about that, though, the Dragon Slayer thing. But go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So where was I? So and the thing about it, too, is it is actually beautiful, like music and like that was like the craziest thing is you play this game that like you're kind of used to in like a top down sort of 2D pixel art sort of thing, although we didn't call it pixel art back then, obviously. But it's like gorgeous audio. And like even younger, it's like it's like a really it was like it's a really interesting like new kind of experience that way. Just really cool stuff.
Yeah, that must have been, it's hard to explain how mind blowing that was to hear CD quality audio while playing a like kind of 16-bit game. And you know what I mean? But at the time that was really like anything it's just you were so used to hearing what we would now call chiptunes, just like we now call it pixel art. It's just like the idea of like, oh, it's not.
It's like these are like actual guitars music. And they're blazing in my head.
It's just ripping solos left and right. Exactly what you'd expect from East, which is really, I mean, that's like a mainstay of the series. So,
I mean, the especially the music of East Book 1 and 2, because, I mean, those were the ones that one of the composers on those games was Yuzo Koshiro. And the songs that he brought for this game are phenomenal. Like the intro song for East 2 is fantastic.
Yeah, his first soundtrack, I believe, was not the original Xanadu, but it was like either a port
It was the MSX2 ROM version, I believe, because I was playing it for a stream at one point, and then one of my co-coms was just looking up, and he was like, oh, wait, Yuzo Koshiro worked on this. Wait, what?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, like, this is not to be repetitive, but this is, like, you can hear a lot about the history of, like, early Falcom and stuff by going and listening to a Retronauts episode I did last summer about the Dragon Slayer series. Which is really great. Kurt's on it, and the Retronauts guys are there, and it's awesome. Everybody should listen to it. Audio quality is okay. So yeah, Ease is because it was a live thing. It was like at a panel.
Oh, I thought you were kind of like throwing shade to Retronauts.
No,
I'm in no, drama now.
No.
I'm joking. Anyway, sorry. What? I totally what? Made that up.
Okay.
I'm friendly with the Retronauts guys.
Luckily, Jeremy, I don't think listens to any podcasts. So, but yeah. So like, it's there's a lot of, you know, it's great because you got a lot of Falcom games that got put out on the PC Engine TurboGrafx. We got a lot of them actually. But Ease is like that's their big series, especially now. I think at the time it was kind of tied with Dragon Slayer, but now, even though that is still going in weird ways to this day, like the spin-offs are just out there.
Yeah, the Trails series the current iterations and successors of Dragon
Slayer. Tokyo Xanadu came out last year. I think Tokyo Xanadu, like the localization, I think came out a few months ago, or maybe that was just a PC release.
Yeah, no. So it's kind of cool. But anyway, yeah, East Book 1 and 2, like going back, every time I say that title, it's just like the grammarian in me wants to say, it's books, dumbass, books 1 and 2. There's not one book 1 and then 2. Ugh.
No, wait, but 2 is actually the sequel. Like the game is called, it's like Rambo First Blood where it's a little inconsistent. So it's like East Book 1 and then just the number 2 is the sequel.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's like, there's East Book 1 and the sequel is just the Roman numeral 2.
Yeah, totally.
Because I was looking up like the original title, write it down somewhere. And then basically like the original East, I think it was like Ancient East Vanished is the full thing. And then like East 2 is like, Ancient East Vanished to the final chapter or something like that.
Yeah. And they sure wrapped it up, didn't they? So, you know, like, it's...
Well, as far as East being a flying city continent thing, yes.
Yeah. So, like, and you get there and you think, like, oh, they must be, like, magic land people with, like, fairy wings. No, they're just, like, regular dudes who, like, live in a town. It's just like all the other places. It's like, why is this such a big deal? Like, you guys... There's like a...
Yeah, fuck you, town.
Yeah, you got this thief, and he's voiced by Lowell from Wings. It's weird.
It's like, right, it's like if you lived in Peoria, Illinois, and you found a portal to another world, and you went through it, and it took you to, like, East St. Louis. It's like, I don't... What is the... You know, like, technically, it's, you know, but...
Like, everything is correct. All accounts are valid. This is just not what I had in mind.
It's not what I thought it was, you know? Like, I just... Sorry to dump on Peoria and East St. Louis. I shouldn't have been so specific. We got huge fan base out there in those places. We don't. It's okay. So, I mean, what else do we want to say? So we got the bump combat. It's like, this is it's not our first East game on the list, though. Because we did talk about Oath in Fel'Ghana, which pissed off Slow Beef. I'm going to call the Oath in Fel'Ghana. Yeah, it's not as good.
No, that was pretty weak.
Yeah.
So, oh, there was a cutting retort and I missed it.
I don't know if it was. I gave it. I'm not even.
Yeah, that was a witty rejoinder. Here, right there.
Fuck yourself. Like, whoa, this guy's got a wit.
I can't believe I insisted on having you on the show. I could have easily just
been like, get this guy on the Tonight Show. Go F yourself. Oscar Wilde returns for the HG 101 podcast to talk about Issa.
Talking about the death of East.
You just walk right into these guys. Who the hell knows?
Issa crazy.
Issa beam.
Yeah, so one of the things I like about, I mean, we should just talk about this. Like, I don't think anyone's going to force us to play, like, you're going to play the regular East now. Like, that would not be fair. Like,
yeah, I remember playing the Famicom version of both East 1 and East 2, and boy howdy, are those miserable experiences. Because one thing that I will say that's really nice about this particular version of East 1 and 2 is that, and it seems to be as the, you know, as the years go on and the various umpteen million ports of this game come out, they make it progressively more, like, progressively easier and more lenient because with the bump combat, it's like, oh, if you're off, you do damage. If you're not, then you... That is extremely strict in old versions. In this one, it's actually a little bit more lenient, in which you can just ram straight into something and you might not take damage.
Yeah, it's...
As a side note, for anyone who wants to do any further reading on the subject, Kurt himself has done basically all of the Ease writing articles on the main site itself. So definitely check that out if you're most inclined.
Yeah, it's a very elaborate article.
I think it's still one of the most read things on the site. But anyway, yeah, like Beef, like playing this, thinking it was like a Zelda-like game. How did you respond to like the bump combat?
So I was kind of used to being burned by Dragon Warrior in the U.S. looking like Legend of Zelda, not being like that. So this was a little more actiony, obviously. So I was all right with it. I don't know why I really liked East like I did, but I really liked it. And East 3 was also there, so I played through all three games. And the music was really good. It really helped make things feel like kind of epic and stuff. I'll admit though, I played it on original console like years back, and I still remember it. But I will say some of the details are sketchy, so I feel like it didn't make as big an impact as other like fantasy action RPG kind of games, you know.
It's a pretty brisk experience, I would say.
Yeah.
When you play both games back to back, I would say, yeah, pretty yeah. brisk.
I recently streamed it. I finished East 2, I think, like last week, actually, and I think it took three streams, totaling probably about 7 hours. Though I will also say, the thing with the alpha, that this was developed by Alpha System, is incredibly apparent because there is a debug. There is actually a debug mode password that you can put in that is just AALLFF, like Alpha System, but like that. And I used that a bit more than I was kind of expecting to, but yes, it's not too terribly long.
I remember it being still a little grindy for like
it is.
Oh, it is. Yeah,
it is incredible. Like, and the thing with the grinding that's annoying about especially early East games is basically boss fights are essentially, oh, it's basically a checklist. Did you hit level X? Oh, you didn't. Well, you're dead.
You're dead. Yeah. So
there are shades of that, but I feel like it's not like too bad going through it. Like, I had the Master System version growing up. And there's actually more
people,
and there are more levels for you to have in the Master System game, and you don't get as much oomph out of your levels. I'm just going to say TG16 because that's what my tongue wants to do. Version I went through and played that and was, hey, everything is where I need it to be. I don't need to just hang around and grind. And like, I do know that later installments in the series basically had you right where you needed to be.
Yeah, it level caps you in these games. So, because it like one just takes up right after the other one. So it's kind of, I kind of like it in a way. Cause I mean, it's scary at first when you're like, oh, I'm not gaining levels. What am I going to do? Like, I can't just like keep grinding to get better. Like, you know, Dragon Quest style, I have to like actually figure this out.
I have to improve,
which is like for action RPGs is usually not a requirement. Like, mm-hmm. Let's be honest, like it's, that's not what the genre is known for. But it's kind of in a way is like a good thing. Cause it like says like, look, you can't get any better. Okay. Stop trying. Mm-hmm. All right. Just figure it out. Like, if you can't beat this boss and you've already hit your level cap, like you've missed something. There's something else to it. And I appreciate that in a way. I wish more games would not necessarily do that, but kind of give you clues in some ways. Like, look, this is not a grinding issue. All right, dude. Like, just mm-hmm. like some character in your party should just like speak up and be like, hey, look, I know you like exercise and all that, but seriously, like, I think we just need this, like, you know, something. Like, you don't need to go nuts here.
So, East, baby!
Some things that I appreciate about the game are just kind of the setup of, you have the town of Minea, and then, like, you have the field, and then there's, like, this other town called Zepic, and then there's all the rest of the everything where you're going to be spending a majority of the game. But even, like, the characters around town are interesting to, at least, you know, enough to poke at them. Like, Pim, the pawn shop guy, is probably the best NPC in, you know, the town, in the game that isn't named Dogi.
That's also weird, is the fact that there are some weird name changes that make zero sense. Well, one of them is...
They called Adol Aaron in the Masters.
Oh, right, they did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like...
Masters!
Like, my favorite thing about Pim is the whole thing. It's like, if you go into the tavern, there's, like, this guy, and they're saying, like, oh, yeah, like, I recently lost my sapphire ring. I don't know where it is. You go to Pim, the pawn shop guy, he's selling a sapphire ring. Hmm. $1,000, you say. All right, let's grab that. Hey, buddy, you were looking for a ring, weren't you? Yeah, there's my ring. I don't know where you found it. Here's $1,500 for it.
There's also another one that's actually kind of similar that I didn't know about until I saw it in a LP of it.
The gold pedestal?
The golden vase, I think it might have been called that. But basically, you exit, one of the first things you do is exit Minea, and then there, if you go to the right side of the map, or the overworld, there's a lake, and you go to the lake, and you're like, oh, hey, I see a silver or a golden vase in the water. And then you go back to Pim, you give it to him, and he's like, wait, I dropped this in the lake. I'll sell it to you. I'll give you money for it anyway.
Yeah, like, Pim will actually drop a clue for it. It will say, it's like, oh, yeah, I lost this thing around there, and I am offering money for it.
Yeah.
So it's like, he's a complete hypocrite in that he will absolutely steal other people's shit and sell them back to him, but at the same time, he doesn't like losing his own property and having to sell it and having to buy it back.
So, my thing with East, I'm kind of surprised to hear this talk about, like, characters, because to me, that's, like, almost the least interesting thing about the games, the early ones, anyway. It's like, I don't really care about any of these people. I'm just going to go into this tower for, like, 2 hours.
I mean, it's funny, like, because I didn't remember Pim per se until it was mentioned. You know, Pim was mentioned. Then I'm like, oh, Pim, right? Okay, I'm remembering this now.
Yeah,
it's like, I feel like it's maybe kind of like, I appreciate that detail's there for the sake of it. Maybe.
Yeah, like, yeah. Let's be honest. From the time that original Eves was made, that wasn't much of a thing in an RPG. Like, you didn't really have NPCs with a lot of personality, or really any personality at all. And they actually went through the effort for Ease, and, you know, they have a winning formula. Why not re-release it? You know,
yeah, I mean, I think there's some of the appeal is lost to time. But I do want to say, like, one thing I like about the East games in particular, but also just the idea of, like, bump combat and stuff, is it speeds up the combat in a way that Zelda, sometimes you're just, like, wishing, like, oh, do I really have to go through, like, another field of the guys who throw bombs at you, and then when you kill them, they turn into a bomb, and then...
Gotta wait for the fucking pea hat to land.
Yeah, it's just, like, at a certain point in the game, you're like, I know where I'm going. It just don't slow me down. Like, I just want to get there. And Ease, that's not a problem. Like, grinding is, like, it's the fastest grind you'll ever do. It's like MTV's grind up here.
Yeah, it makes grinding fun. Like, really, the game is just kind of fun from start to finish, except when you go into the mine, you have to fight Vagulian, who is the worst boss in history.
Yeah, and also, the speed is a nice thing, because one thing that I think that this version was, like, the first to add, but you also have an adjustable speed setting. So if you're in an area that has a lot of monsters, you want to be very careful not to run into them, you just set the slow, and you have a better chance of it.
You're just zipping around the screen, though, messing dudes up like you got, like, a monster lawnmower, and you're just plowing through them.
That's why you don't need to swing your weapon. You are a car.
Yeah,
you just run, like, people over.
And in all the versions of the game, you can travel in diagonals and stuff, right? Like, you've got, like, pretty much free movement.
Diagonals came later. You can't do that.
East 4 was, I think, the first one to do that.
I'm probably thinking of the Chronicles version, because that's the one.
Yeah, Chronicles Plus lets you do diagonal, which, incidentally, if you do that in the Vagulian fight, you will die. Because you actually go net slower.
Oh, yeah,
I learned that the hard way when I streamed me fighting that bastard on the hardest difficulty for an hour before I actually had victory. And then I saved immediately.
All right, everybody, before we rank this one, I'm going to, like, we've already heard some favorite moments with Pim and so on. Who else has got a favorite moment from the East, first two East games?
I would like to point out, especially since we're ranking this Turbo CD version, I feel one thing that if you're talking about this version, especially in comparison to the other Turbo CD, well, I guess really the one, at least the one that came out over here, the voice casting for this game is phenomenal for the time. Because you had actual, like, voice actors of the era, right? You didn't have, like, say, Blast Alert level voice acting or, like, E3 level voice acting. In this one, like, the
King's
cast
Quest
has...
King's Quest V voice acting.
Yeah, like, you had...
Watch out!
Let's just get the people around the office.
Yeah, you had Debbie Derryberry, you had Jim Cummings, you had Alan Oppenheimer, you had Thomas Hayden Church. You had a bunch of people who were, like, legitimate actors, or voice actors, I should say, at the time. Like, Optimus Prime is one of the person. The really evil Dr. Robotnik / Winnie the Pooh is the one of the main
bad
guys.
It was really weird hearing the village elder telling me to transform and roll out. Yes. I felt like, I was like, there's a little bit of genre dissonance here, like.
Like, we call that ludonarrative dissonance, I think.
Yes.
Like, you roll out all the time and run things down. I mean, I'm not seeing the problem here.
Nobody said it was a problem.
You know, we could just, like, carry it. Yeah, it was excellent.
Where's the mod of this game?
My favorite... Beef might not have any... He said he can barely remember it.
That's not true. I remember, like, set pieces just not, like... It's like as they're coming, like when you mention the mine, I'm like, the mine, that's right, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like those kind of things where it's like they're like sitting in the back of your head, and as soon as you hear it, you know what it was being talked about. But if someone didn't say it, you wouldn't recall it.
You know, say, and that's, I think part of that is like it's, I don't want to use the phrase it's not a bug, it's a feature, but I kind of have to because I just did. And you know, but I mean, like the thing about this game is that like you're always on, like. People are giving you stuff like, oh, like, you know, my husband's trapped in the mine, and it's like a place you were already going through anyway. And so it's like, it makes it like, so it's not just like, everything's not like a fetch quest. It's kind of like you're dealing with people's actual issues. And Adol, like, definitely is a hero who is concerned with like the daily lives and the problems of the people in the villages that he's mm-hmm. like, you know,
yeah, like, that's a thing that they've actually gone on record of saying, that Adol went out to become a hero as an active lifestyle choice. No one forced him into it. No one, like, urged him. There wasn't any kind of great urgency or anything. He just grew up and said, I want to be a hero, and just went out, had no angst, got into a shipwreck, and the rest was history.
Well, you know, actually,
walked the earth like that's also Kung Fu.
That is also one thing about this game that usually most East games don't cover, is the fact that Adol actually has successful boat travel in this game, which normally does not happen.
Not in Chronicles Plus.
One thing, by the way, I will add that the villain's name is Dark Fact, which
there's actually also something really good about that, because depending upon which version of East you have, I forgot which one, but one of them localized it as Dark Fukt.
Yep.
It's German.
Yes.
In high school, there was like some pothead who like adorable, you know, lovable pothead who had a shirt that said FUKT, I think, on it, or FUCT or something like that. And somebody was like, what? You can't wear that. He's like, no, it's German. There, it's a band. Fused.
It was like that Fantasy Star, or was it like the original Fantasy Star that had Dark Balance.
That's the best one. Okay, Beef, what are you going to say?
I'm going to say, what do you say we go to brass tacks here a bit, right, and say how we're going to rank this. Okay. So I have a complete midpoint suggestion, and the only reason I'm suggesting it, I think I know where I want to go, just because it's about midpoint of the list. Just about midpoint, but not quite. Willow for the NES, better or worse?
I think it's better.
I agree.
I think it's substantially better, actually. I mean, because above that's like Banjo-Kazooie. What? Come on, man. So
it's better than Willow for the NES, but Willow still holds a place near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, so my favorite thing about, like, I just want to go really fast. My favorite little scene from East 2, just Roman numeral 2, as it's known in this game, is the guy who's got monsters in his basement.
Oh, that's a really good. Yes.
he's like kind of a jerk to you when you go into his house. I don't know what, like, he's got some kind of problem with weirdos from like the surface world, like bursting into his house and like looking through his stuff. But he's like, oh my God, I got monsters in my basement. Go down there. And like, it's sure enough, you go down there. There's like the wall.
There's a lot of them.
There's a bunch of monsters in his basement and you can actually exterminate them and go back to talk to the guys like, thanks for getting rid of the monsters in my basement. It's like, I feel like I did something here today. This is not the ideal. Like, I think we got to do this though. Like, it's not the ideal version. I think Chronicles is probably the
Is the version that's probably the technical best.
I do have to point out that there is a distinction for this particular version versus like Chronicles Plus or anything else, in that the music for this version, Valcom does not have the license to, so you cannot hear this music in this these iterations of the music, which I think are probably the best iterations of the music in any other version of the game.
So let me ask this then, maybe this helps, Grana. How do you feel about it compared to Oath and Fel'Ghana?
It can't be as good. Oath and Fel'Ghana is probably, it might be the best East game.
Yeah, so, I would also
Oath is really freaking.
So we've got it in a range of Willow, which is 195, and Oath and Fel'Ghana, which is 147.
Okay, all right. That's so very helpful.
Here's the complication I have for that. I like Oath and Fel'Ghana as a game more. But on the other hand, Ease is kind of really freaking famous, and the first games, regardless of which iteration of it you're playing, are kind of a big deal, and it's kind of hard to find anyone who doesn't know what the hell you're talking about.
So the thing about East, though, is like, if you are one of those poor, hapless nerds who's like, I'm going to play the East games, you know, you will start somewhere. You will start at the beginning. I don't think you have to encourage people to play these. Like, the people who are going to play East are going to play the first two East games. They're probably going to play it in Chronicles. Like, Book 1 and 2, I think, deserves props for being a thing like, oh my God, we got to do something like that justifies the purchase of the CD thing. I know, we'll put out a game that has Red Book audio. And Optimus Prime does one of the voices. Sold. that was pretty cool. And it's one of the nerdiest things that came to the United States at that point. 1980.
The nerdiest thing is the fact that Demon is censored as Goon.
Hold on. We're derailing here. Are we agreeing that Oath and Fel'Ghana is a ceiling or no?
Yes.
I think it is. It is. Yeah.
Okay. So we are.
I'm not, but I'm outvoted.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that fair? Okay. So let me throw another one out there for you. Here's a big one. Guardian Heroes for the Saturn. I feel like lower because I feel like
Guardian, I think it's got to go lower than Guardian Heroes. Guardian Heroes is kind of like, I mean, on the other hand, I don't want to encourage people to buy a Saturn.
Why not?
I did not enjoy Guardian Heroes when I gave it a try at one point. Like, there was nothing to hook me. I was like, I tried playing and I'm just like, oh, this is just, I'm not enjoying myself in this. It's like, oh, your thing is named Gold and Silver. That's a Gunstar Heroes callback, and that was the big takeaway I had from it.
But without Guardian Heroes, we would not have Code of Princess, possibly the finest work of game or literature in... no, I'm just kidding. I don't dislike Code of Princess, but I did feel like... I mean, they even put, like, become the guardian of over, like, dozen heroes on the back of the box, so
I'm kind of like, my personal ceiling I'm thinking is probably Bushido Blade, because I would say Bushido game
true. Yeah. It's always worse than Bushido Blade no matter what the game we're talking about.
I have a possible placement.
Okay,
what do you think about above 171? We should put it above Baroque, right above Baroque and right below Tex Murphy. And I'm saying this as someone who really likes Baroque.
Okay, I gotta put it above Tex Murphy.
Pandora Directive. Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, okay, how about this? I would put it below Full Throttle above Castle of Dr. Brain.
That's fine by me.
That's two.
Okay. Like, I'm over here going, I would put it above Fezzanadu.
What's Fezzanadu placed up?
Fezzanadu is 135.
Yeah, it's way too high. I can't even consider that. Like, I'm sorry, like, the thing about Fezzanadu is it's not as good as... Well, no, it is exactly as good as the list says it is. But there's an asterisk, you know, like it's just okay. I think all right. So we need one more vote to seal this deal.
I probably say yes, although I don't have any familiarity with either Full Throttle or Castle of Dr. Brain. I do have
then just say yes.
Just say yes.
Yes, I have familiarity with Splatterhouse and Sin and Punishment, and yes, I'd say it goes in between those.
Oh, listen to the New Jersey press gang over here.
That's right. Sounds like Beef needs to go to bed, so why don't we just put it there?
No, that's not true. I have to bring up a bottle for my son. That's the problem. So,
Go for it.
All right.
All right, that's where it goes. East, book one and two. It goes right below Full Throttle, right above Castle of Dr. Brain. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Check out the East series if you haven't done it. It's an interesting little curio. That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord, but most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.